Of course, you have your Bibles, like to encourage us tonight from the Word of God. Then we get into the missionary letters, and then, of course, the prayer time to come. But title of tonight's message, How Our Faith Looks to God. How Our Faith Looks to God. Of course, the saying goes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And what might look off-putting, maybe even ridiculous to someone, might look grand and beautiful to someone else. I mean, we know that saying, that idiom. The idea is, imagine how ridiculous our faith, your faith, can look to a lost person, an unbeliever, right? And so imagine if we were talking to someone who's not saved, and we say to them, well, I want to live my life for Jesus. I want to give all I have for Jesus, although I've never actually met him, though. Or we might say, I do take time out of my day to talk to Jesus, to praise him, to confide in him, tell him my heart's burdens and my heart's desires, although I've never actually heard his voice, though. Or what about this? I don't mind suffering for Jesus because I know he will return and reign 1,000 years. I've never actually seen him in person, but but I believe in Jesus. Now, to the unsaved, our faith seems to make us do unreasonable things without any guarantee that it's even going to pay off. But how does God look at our faith? Or how does our faith look to God? The world might think our faith ridiculous. The world might think of our faith as out there in left field. The world might think of our faith as unnecessary. But what's important is how our faith looks to God. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is the Hall of Faith chapter. I'd like to just stir our hearts from the Word of God. But Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to verse 1. And a wonderful passage of Scripture. Trust we are somewhat familiar with this truth. God himself tells us what he thinks of faith. And then from the application tonight, we'll be reminded how God looks at my faith and your faith. What a blessing. So let's go to verse 1 and 2. The Word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house even tonight. Thank you, Father, so much for the great salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your wonderful word that we can hear from you, Lord, your heart, your mind. And so, Father, even now, please empty me of myself that I would speak only what you would have me to say. Hide me behind the cross. Father, that is your precious, eternal word that proceedeth out of my lips. Lord, that you would encourage us to how our faith, really how our faith looks to you and not to anyone else. Lord, sometimes even not to myself because I'm flesh, Lord. And help us to always be encouraged and be blessed by what you think and what you see, not so much by what others, certainly not what the lost see. Father, we thank you so much for this gift of just even the privilege to assemble tonight to praise you. For truly, Father, thou art alone worthy of it all. Thank you and bless this time with the preaching of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And by the way, I'd like to really emphasize the message tonight. It's on your faith, my faith, our faith, and not just faith in general. Okay? And I get that when we read the scriptures, yes, verse 1 is speaking about what faith is, okay, in the eyes of God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, yes, the evidence of things not seen. But I want us to make personal application of what Scripture is telling us. And so, essentially, yes, God is talking about faith, everyone's faith. What faith is, if the textbook definition, if you looked up the dictionary definition, this would be it in verse 1. But I want us to be reminded this, by God's grace, would also be reflective of my faith and your faith, specifically our faith, okay? And so the idea is not just faith, but think of it tonight, preaching on our faith, your faith and my faith. And how does God look at our faith? How does it appear to God? It might be off-putting to an unbeliever, but my friends, when it comes to God, your faith is absolutely, number one, paramount. Our faith is paramount to God. Others might make light of our faith. They might see our faith and ridicule it. It might scoff at what we do because of our faith. But when God sees your faith, when God sees our faith, to God it is, number one, paramount. The word paramount, of course, the idea that it's more important, in fact, most important, above all else. And you think, why is this? Well, it's because our faith is the only way we see God. It's the only way we see God. In fact, that's the very definition in verse 1. If you look at verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Not just our version of God, but faith is the only way that we see God as He truly is, truly as God tells us how He is. In fact, if you skip down to verse 27, this is speaking about Moses, but it's all the catalyst, it's all faith. And so look at verse 27, by faith, He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for He endured as seeing Him who is invisible. And faith is the only way that we see God. Without our faith, all of God's promises won't mean anything to us. The Bible is full of promises. But without faith, it's as though God didn't make those promises. Only our faith makes our hope real, right? Now, by the way, don't miss this. It's not a universal application to everything that we hope, okay? It's not that, because I can certainly hope, I don't know, to win the Powerball, okay? Just because I hope to do it, that happens doesn't mean it's going to happen if it's not God's will. Specifically, the hope that is speaking about here in chapter 11, verse 1, is the promises that God has given us. God's promises, specifically God's promises. If we hope in it, that faith makes those promises real. It is a proof to us, even though we can't see it. And so faith makes God's promises materialize. It's the substance. It is the essence of it. It makes it real to what you and I don't see. Of God Himself becomes real to us. His love becomes real to us. God's perfect plan becomes real to you and I. By the way, do you believe in God's perfect plan for you? It takes faith to not doubt what God is doing, to just trust in Him. In fact, it's the opposite of sight, because sometimes things can look pretty grim. And I go, wow. Maybe God doesn't have a perfect plan for me. Well, Bible tells me He loves me with an everlasting love, and He's got a perfect plan for me. And so we can trust in God's promises in the Word that tells us His perfect plan for you and I. The measure, our measure as a Christian, is not so much in our skills, not so much in our talents, is not so much, not even in our achievements, but our measure as a Christian is how much faith we have in God. Who God is, not just His abilities, but includes God's plan. Do we have faith in God's plan, His person, His will, His timing, His desire for you and I? Our faith is the only link, emphasize only, okay? Underline it, asterisk it, box it up, bold it, italicize it. Our faith is the only link between us and God to guide us on the path as we walk according to God's word. From salvation, getting saved, all the way to glory, i.e. our entire Christian life, like a train car being pulled and linked to the train engine, right, and being pulled along the tracks. If you want to think of God's word as the tracks in our life, you are the train car, I'm the train car, God is the train engine, okay? It is our faith that links us to God as far as with the train engine. And if that link is broken, if that link is weak, I'm going to be going for a while and then I'll run out of steam and kind of just stall on the tracks, right? The tracks meaning God's word, God's plan for me. It's faith that links us to the engine of course being God Himself. That's huge. If you look at verse 2, for by it, what's the it? That's faith, right? For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now that's what faith did for them. But if you want a good report, the idea of a good report is it's got a very militaristic theme, okay? We fight a battle, we defeat the enemy, you know, and I don't know, the commanding officer might say, Sergeant Liu, I want to report first thing on my desk tomorrow morning. I don't know if they speak like that, but, you know, maybe Brother can elaborate that. I've seen it in shows and TV, okay? But you want to report of what happened, and so the idea is it would encapsulate, summarize all that happened. You think of an annual report, right? It summarizes what the business did during the year, the revenues, the losses, what they all did. The annual report sums up what happened during the year. Think of this report as a life report, not just annual, but a life report that summarizes our life for God. What will that report say? Okay, it's a report on me, a report on you. Yeah, that's great. We're talking about hope, faith here that applies, that made the hope real for the elders. These are the Old Testament heroes of faith, which are contained in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, but to personalize it, if I want a good report, just as these elders, we got to have faith. It is only by faith. Only by faith. Only by faith and of the utmost by faith. And so look at verse 3. Through faith, well, how important is faith? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, this is creation. This is Genesis, the Genesis account. And the writer to the Hebrews is using the Genesis creation account as an example of how faith works for you and I. And, why is that? Well, first of all, again, admire what the word of God says. Through faith, we understand, so we get it, that the worlds, the world creation that it is now, were framed. So not just created by God. Obviously, he is the creator. He made all things. But when it says framed there, it means beautifully arranged. Okay, so God didn't let me just confess here. I do not have the ability to appreciate what we call quote-unquote modern art. Sometimes it might look like just a splattering of random paint, and then it sells for millions. I'm like, wow, how does that happen? It looks like a toddler did that. Okay, what I'm saying is, when God made creation, it wasn't just random splatters. He framed it. Everything to perfection. From the tilt of the earth to the sun in the sky, the sun in the moon. Everything in creation is perfectly framed and organized by God as part of creation. He didn't just make it and just toss it out there. He had intentional design in how it was made. And how we know this is by faith. Through faith. And you know why it takes faith? Because no one was there at the creation. Only God, right? In the Genesis account. In fact, you ever wonder how Moses wrote it? By inspiration of God. Because Moses certainly wasn't there off to the side, logging what God did on day one. Oh, he made this. Day two. Oh, he said, no, it's by inspiration of God. And so from the very first day, from day one, to become a Christian and to live as a Christian, it has always been faith. It's always been faith, and it's only been faith. Always only faith. Has to be. In fact, the rest of the verse goes, so that things which are seen, what we see now, were not made of things which do appear, i.e. no evolution. What we see now didn't just make itself. Everything we see now came from nothing. God spoke creation into existence, and the only way we know this is by faith. And then it's kind of a 1-2 puncher. That's the first application. The second application is because we believe what God did in the past, we know what he will do in the future. And in the grand design, just like Genesis, it will be good. It will be good. It will be beautiful. God framed all creation. He certainly frames your life and my life. All this how? Through faith. It makes us reverence. It makes us want to obey God. And sometimes, by the way, I might feel like I have nothing, just like, well, in the beginning, there was nothing. And then God said, let there be light. Boom. And so the idea is, even if I feel down and out, even if I feel like I got nothing, I'm just going on empty, with faith. Faith is everything. Because faith is how things become real. God's promises to us in this, verse 1, verse 2. This is so awesome, but it is only through faith. Without faith, well, nothing can happen. God has always designed us to serve him, to believe in him, to see him through faith. So without faith, we cannot see God. Faith to God is the only way that we can see him. Faith to God is paramount. What we have, faith, it is absolutely essential and paramount to God. Number two, our faith is precious. Ended up going with three P's here. So the second P, our faith is precious to God. Others may scoff at it, but to God it is precious. Let's go to verse 4. Let's look at this here. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. That's amazing that Abel and Cain gave their gifts, their sacrifices to God. Of course, God criticized and rebuked Cain for his gift. Abel got answered and received. That's amazing. by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, that's faith, he being dead yet speaketh. Our faith to God is precious. It's precious. Even if we might not think much about it, even if the world ridicules our faith, you know, we do things and we don't seem to be making any difference, we don't seem to be getting any prosperity in our life, to God, your faith is precious. Precious meaning it's valuable, it's prized, and it's treasured by God. Why? Because your faith is the only way that you love God. Our faith is the only way that we love God. Because at the end of the day, friends, God doesn't just want your service. He wants your heart. He doesn't just want me to just do things for him. He wants me to love him. If we truly love God, we will desire to serve him. Yes, he wants our service, but he wants our heart. He wants our love. If that is in place, we will serve him joyfully and cheerfully. And the only way that we can love God is by faith. Now, the example in verse 4 here, Cain and Abel, the brothers, the first brothers from Genesis, right? It shows our faith is needed for salvation. It starts by salvation. Abel, of course, we know the story, sadly was murdered by Cain, but even though he was killed physically, he was alive spiritually, right? The blood still spoke, and so he was alive spiritually. Abel's example of giving a blood sacrifice, now it shows our faith is needed for our worship of God. He did it among all the descriptions that we can say. Why did Abel offer a more excellent sacrifice than Cain? Was it because he was wise? Was it because he obeyed Dad? Okay, and the idea is Adam had the context indicate both Cain and Abel knew a blood sacrifice was required for them to come close to God. Adam knew that the animal blood had to be shed for his own sins when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. He knew that. He would have taught his boys. The idea is Cain knew better, and God rebukes him for his sin because he doesn't address his sin. It lieth at the door. Abel gives the blood sacrifice as he was taught, and so God commends him on that, and so that's fantastic. But he did it above all things, not wisdom, not smarts, not even obedience to Dad. He did it by, verse 4, faith. It's by faith. Because faith is the only way that we can love God. Faith is the only way that we can come to God to worship God for our cleansing, starting with our salvation. Only by the shed blood of the Lamb can we even approach God. And then if we love God the way that we should, we will want to worship God. We'd be happy to offer sacrifices to God, whether it's like Abel, a more excellent sacrifice, maybe a lamb of his own flock, or maybe ourselves as living sacrifices. It's all by faith. It's by faith and only by faith. In fact, it kind of got me thinking, boy, what if Abel and Cain had a third brother? Well, they did later. Okay, but what if I was there at that time? What kind of sacrifice would I have given? What would my faith be? And perhaps if I think, well, I hope my faith is as pure as Abel's. You know, I hope I can give a more excellent sacrifice to God. It's only by faith we can do that. Well, God wants us to have purer faith, which is why, turn with me to 1 Peter. That's why God purifies our faith. And so don't, you know, when God works on our heart, puts us through trials, it's for our benefit. And we covered this verse in Sunday school many times, but let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to verse 7. If my faith is not as pure as Abel's, that's okay. God wants it to be pure, and that's why he purifies it. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Remember, our faith is precious to God. God loves it. God cherishes our faith. It's a prize to God, our faith. And so verse 7 says, and again, Peter is writing to those that have been going through severe hardship. Okay, so they're going through a trial. Some of them have lost everything. But Peter tells them, God tells them, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than the gold that perisheth. And so the faith of the Christian, your faith is so precious to God. Your faith is more precious than all the gold in the world. Your faith is what God treasures. God would sooner just cast aside all the wealth of the world if you would give him your heart. And that's only by faith, okay? And he wants to purify our faith, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Do we understand this, my friends? Our faith, as as it gets strengthened, as it gets more pure, get purified by God through hardships, can give praise and honor and glory to God at the appearing of Jesus Christ, okay, at his return. That is huge. God cares about your faith. It is paramount to him. It is of utmost importance to God. Your faith is. It is most precious to God. He loves your faith. He cherishes your faith. He will never take your faith for granted. You can serve God with all your heart. No one else might recognize it. People might scoff at it. People might accuse you falsely on it. But for God, he will always cherish your faith. That is huge. And when this happens, when God purifies our faith, verse 7, when verse 7 happens, and when we don't resist it, okay, when we praise God for the chastening that I need, well, verse 8 and 9 kicks in, which says this, whom having not seen, ye love. Why? Because faith is the only way we can love God. If you want to love God more, let God purify our faith. Amen. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And this, of course, is Peter trying to exhort the brethren. Peter, who God told, Jesus told that he would be crucified as a testimony of his service to God. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is talking about bodily deliverance, the resurrection, the coming of Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful promise. Do we believe it? We can only believe it by faith. We can only see God by faith. God's promises only become real to us by faith. We can only love God and as a consequence of that, serve God by faith. And then number 3, how does God look at our faith? Our faith is pleasing to God. It pleases him. It's precious to God, but it also pleases God. So let's go back to Hebrews 11, not far from Peter. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go down to verse 5. And so in verse 4, we talked about Cain and Abel. That's a picture of faith needed for salvation. And then in verse 5, speaking about Enoch, and we know Enoch's testimony, he pleased God, okay? Of course, Enoch's testimony pictures salvation a faith to please God. Verse 4, salvation to get saved. Verse 5, salvation, faith to please God. And so verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. What a bonus. And was not found because God had translated him. A personal rapture back in Genesis. For before his translation, he had this testimony. What was his testimony? That he pleased God. How did he please God? By faith. In fact, that's verse 6. And verse 6 is a very popular verse. Okay, but the context is Enoch's testimony as proof of the verse. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Our faith pleases God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do we believe verse 6? Because faith is the only way that we can walk with God. Faith allows us to see God as he is. Not just my idea of God, not just my own subpar version of God, not just, anyone's version of God, but truly as God truly, truly is. Faith allows us to see God as a rewarder. That's amazing. Out of all the terms that God can put in this verse as a result of faith in how we approach God, God chose to tell us that he is a rewarder, not an ignorer, okay? God is not an ignorer of me coming to him, where I say, Lord, over here, hello, and he just ignores me. He is not an ignorer. He is not a brusher-offer, okay? He is not a putter-downer, okay? God is a rewarder. That's awesome. But we only see that with faith, all right? Without faith, we're not going to see this, okay? It won't be real to us, okay? So this, it is huge. Our faith is the only way that we walk with God. In fact, let's go back to Genesis real quick. Genesis 5, we're not going to read the passage, but I just want us to observe. It's got a list of names of Adam's descendants. Not all, okay, just specifically through the line of Seth. There's certainly more than that. But just go back with me to Genesis 5. And I just want to see this. I want us to see this together with me. And, of course, you have, who's alive, how long they live, who which sons they have, and all that. But if you look at Genesis chapter 5, it speaks about, a portion of the descendants of Adam. And you see of all these names here, you have Adam, you have Seth, okay? You have, all the way down, you have Enos, you have Canaan, you have Mahalalel, you have Jared, okay? You go all the way down, and then you have Enoch. Now, out of all these names, only Enoch is said to walk with God. Only Enoch is said to please God. In fact, if you want to skip with me to where it talks about Enoch, verse 23, it says, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years." And instead of just moving along like the rest of his brethren, God goes out of his way and tells us in verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God." Now, we know from Hebrews 11 it's because of faith that he pleased God. Okay, so these are essentially synonymous. When Enoch pleased God, it's because he walked with God. Those go hand in hand. He walks with God because, and that's why he pleases God. But it's only because of what? Faith. And he was not, for God took him. That's huge. That's amazing. I mean, that is so awesome. He had his own personal rapture, and that's it. He did not see death. He was just translated. Now, I can see the rest of the rest of his brethren in Genesis chapter 5. I can kind of see them saying, you know, hey, no fair. I didn't know that if we walked with God and pleased him, that he would just take us. I didn't know that. God didn't tell us that. And God didn't. Okay, he didn't say that you get a personal rapture if you do that. Not to these Old Testament saints. He didn't. But that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Because when we please God only by faith, he can bless us beyond what we ever thought possible. That's the whole point. Okay, and so it's a wonderful thing. Serve God. Trust God. Have faith in God. Proverbs chapter 15. Let's turn there real quick. Proverbs chapter 15. Let's go to verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. The Word of God says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer," not even an elaborate sacrifice like Abel. If you're saved, even a simple prayer, which is what we're going to do tonight. But this is how, because it's by faith, okay? "Of the upright is his" what? "Delight." Our faith is pleasing to God. That is awesome. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 and we kind of wrap it up here. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We just read verse 6. Let's go to verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Of course, you know, if you think back to what happened with Noah's flood, that the whole world would die, and only his family was saved because of Noah's faith. Just to put it in perspective, if you can imagine something happening like that, a global flood, and the only way that your family survives is by faith, wouldn't we think that faith is a pretty big deal? Oh yes, that is a saving line is by faith. And it's only by faith that Noah did that. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, he found grace. Okay, I get that. But he had to believe in God. God gives grace. We receive it only by faith. Our faith, and only our faith, makes us see God for what he wants, for how he wants us to be seen, himself as a rewarder. And when we walk by faith with God, we do mighty things for God. In fact, that's the whole rest of the chapter. It's all by faith, Abraham, by faith, you know, it talks about the fathers, by faith, Moses, it goes all the way to, in fact, if you want to skip with me down, for sake of time, let's go all the way to verse 32. Verse 32, again, the theme hasn't changed. The saints have changed, okay, so it's David and Moses, but it's always been by faith, only by faith. By faith is the only way we please God. And then verse 32 kind of sums it up here. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith. Now, it's not just saying it's through faith, but what the Bible is emphasizing, it's only through faith. Not just faith is one of the options, it's only through faith. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. All this is through faith, through faith, through faith. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. But what? But by faith, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were not going to renounce their faith in the Lord. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. All these things that they did, the only reason is by faith. Faith, faith, faith. Our faith, your faith is paramount to God. Your faith is precious to God. Your faith is pleasing to God. Of course, the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We want more faith, my friends. Read God's word. Submit to God's word. Believe God's word. Yield to God's word. God has said all he wants to say. It's in his scriptures. We just need to believe it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing, Lord, again. Thank you for your precious word that is the source of our faith. Help us to yield to it. And Father, thank you, Lord, just for the reminder of how paramount, how precious, and how pleasing our faith is to you. Lord, no matter what someone else might say or others might mock or jest or look down upon, Father, we thank you that we have your word. Help us to be found faithful. And Father, we ask that you bless now the prayer time to come. Let us ask according to faith, according to your will, Father, that we can see you who is invisible, but we can just trust in you by faith alone. We thank you for this privilege in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Thank you, friends.